One of the last true areas of privacy in the Western world is the loo, and haven't they come on in our lifetimes? I'm advised that even the better North of England grammar schools now feature cubicle doors which lock. Not only does this deliver the shy from the ridicule of the unkind, it enables the inmates to read whatever they choose without interruption. From scraps gathered at boat show appearances, many seafaring readers appear to favour a Cunliffe textbook for those daily minutes of solitude. But in these difficult times, my own choice of short-span literature is a work by one Richard Browning entitled How to Survive the Credit Crunch. Among useful tips about avoiding motorway service stations and knocking off the booze, I found a jewel entitled Do I Really Need This? Mr. Browning was wondering whether to spring for that expensive Mexican patio heater he'd always wanted, which was now on offer at half price, but my mind had moved on to the latest generation of electronic chart plotters. Those of us who enjoy this method of navigation are hugely blessed in comparison to our predecessors. You'll recall the history. It all started back in the mid-1990s with monochrome vector charts on tiny screens. Even if you could understand them, you couldn't discern detail unless it was pitch dark, and then you couldn't find the buttons to make them work. Those early sets were virtually useless, yet they were trailblazers of the only total revolution in navigation since 1761, when Harrison's chronometer brought longitude to every seaman who could add up. For the first time, a skipper could see a real-time fix, while a projection of his recent positions showed visually where the vessel was actually tracking. It didn't take many years to progress from these primitive beginnings to plotters with bright screens, user-friendly programs, and charts that are clear and comprehensive. Soon, such benefits as AIS and radar overlays were added. Every time-honored problem was now solved. What more could a sensible navigator ask? The most relevant answer to this question is, I suppose, bigger screens. They'd be good, wouldn't they? Because the thorniest issue of the modern chart plotter isn't that we can't read it or that the software was written by the man in the moon. The sorry truth is that while even a small paper chart measures over 2'6" by 1'6", my biggest plotter screen is only 12 inches across the diagonal. Anything bigger than that gets seriously expensive and guzzles far more battery power than we small yacht sailors can afford. As a result, we still have to live with the zooming and panning challenges that have bedeviled these otherwise wonderful machines from the start. Instead of some serious R&D into this vital area, the suppliers are in grave danger of losing the plot, as you might say. The latest stream of equipment is classic fodder for Richard Browning. For more money, we're now encouraged to invest in added value charts that purport to show the world of cartography in three dimensions. We can tilt the display to view our destination from a variety of angles, with little lights that blink on and off, just like the real thing, and are equally bewildering. The most alarming element about approaching strange harbours after dark for many of us is the wall-to-wall flashing lights. These, of course, are made even more obscure by ambient illumination from the shore, pub signs, fairgrounds and the like, occasionally even an adventurously lit sign of unambiguous promise. Gents, it says. More likely these days it'll read male, offering a depressing insight into the anticipated clientele. But it distracts our gaze from the main event just the same. What I want from my chart is a bird's eye view that removes all this confusion, a precise 2D delivery that dishes up the essential information and no more. It's called an Admiralty chart, or its uncluttered electronic equivalent. The alarming thing about some of these new features is that people believe in them unquestioningly. I had a yarn recently with a yachtsman who described passing through a tiny rock-strewn channel using only his 3D charts to watch his keel clearing the obstructions. His alternative was a visual transit that has served mariners for centuries. "How did your route compare with the transit?" I inquired. "Oh, that's old hat now, mate," he replied. "I didn't bother to look." I asked myself whether the surveyor of his chart had indicated the smoothly undulating plane connecting the 3D soundings on the screen, or whether some creative cartographer had filled in the gaps with a computer. I love electronic navigation and admire the instruments now at our disposal, but one thing was certain. Whoever created that chart hadn't made the sort of effort traditional cartographers put in to draw a user's eye to the transit. The bottom line seems to be that in the frantic search for new developments in the face of fierce competition, money is being invested in trivia while work on what would truly help is not in evidence. Manufacturers tell me that people adore these gimmicks, and I don't doubt that some do, but Browning's question, "Do I really need this?" will sound loudly in the ears of many. The Dublin writer Flann O'Brien summed up matters in 1939. "When money's tight and it's hard to get, and your horse has also ran, when all you have is a heap of debt, a pint of plain is your only man." He could have been talking about chart plotters and hard times. The word from my head's compartment is that there is much in what he says.